This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. This is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Herein lies the peace of God. The purpose of this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. It is doing these exercises that will make the goal of this course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. Remember that one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishments anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. There's a great deal of joy in the kingdom of God at the prospect that at last, through the mind of our Savior Jesus Christ, you've decided to enter in to this time and this place where it's possible for you to recognize the entirety of who you are through His mind and the grace of our love for each other. The news has spread abroad that the time for your reawakening to an advent of the conversion within a space-time reference is now yours to make. I'm glad you decided to join me here because it's my intention to be with you now, if you'll allow me to, in this time and place, to offer you the grace of my certainty, of our capacity to share together the idea that we can be whole and perfect as we were created through the saving grace of Jesus of Nazareth. Okay. Say to me, let's share together. Let's begin with this process of healing, shall we? Say to me, Jesus is with me now. through the power of the Holy Spirit will make me whole. He's going to show me that at this time and place, or any time and place that I have chosen to allow His grace of love to come about me, I can see myself as whole and perfect. These are the mind instructions of His incredible Course in Miracles, where He is showing you in the reality of the conversion of your mind from a place of loneliness and death, through the auspices of the light of His mind, we can enter through a practice of releasing the need to identify ourselves as earthlings in the moment's realization of the joy and happiness that we share together. All around the world now, more and more, those of you who have decided to allow this occurrence to happen are experiencing the healing. So, if you're watching this video, and wherever you're watching it, and that would include virtually anywhere, since suddenly around the world, the proclamation of this second coming of Jesus is taking over, and the aspects and intervals of time are being altered, okay, by your determination not to represent yourself as that body form that you brought into this time and place, but to allow the conversion through His Christ mind, through Jesus' Christ mind, to enter with us now and suddenly experience the joy of being whole and well. Now, I'm going to offer to you, if you'll share it with me, that joy. All right? I know some of you have been a little despondent about your lack of capacity to express yourself with the certainty of the joy you're feeling at being healed. Don't be concerned, will you, about your lack of capacity. Listen carefully to what He says. It was not within your capacity, okay, to heal the sick, to see yourself as whole. That's why you had to depend on His mind through the Holy Spirit to be whole. That was a good advent. A little later on in this program, I'm going to do some specific healings, if you let me, because we're getting now hundreds of responses from those watching who suddenly are sharing in the grace of the extension of the power of the Spirit of His mind to be whole and healed. Our trouble, as indicated by Him in the New Testament, is one of time. We have conceived of ourselves, and this is John 1 and John 3, which perhaps you saw in previous videos. We're going to review them in just a moment, but mostly I want you to see now that when you entered into this frame of time, you had conceived of yourself in such a manner that His presence was being denied you. Let's listen to one of His lessons from this course. This instant is the only time that there is. Listen. I have conceived of time in such a way that I defeat my aim. If I elect to reach past time to timelessness, I must change my perception of what time is for. Time's purpose cannot be to keep the past and future one. The only interval in which I can be saved from time is now. Can you hear this? For in this instant has forgiveness come to set me free. The birth of Christ is now, without a past or future. He has come to give His present blessing to the world, restoring it to timelessness and love. And love is ever present, right here and right now. Thanks for this instant, Father. It is now I am redeemed. This instant is the time that You have appointed for Your Son's release and for salvation of the world in Him. So, could you feel the relief just then? That's healing. See, at any single moment, this from the message of Jesus, at every single moment through his mind, you're whole and perfect as you were created. Okay, what prevents you from seeing that wholeness? Judgment. His teaching to you, I don't judge. At any single moment, if I can get you to release the idea of your identity of yourself, you'll be able to experience the joy of being whole and perfect as you were created. As I look at you now, representing his healing grace, there is no possibility that I would attempt to judge you as being the ideas of body form that you brought into this spatial reference. I'm going to allow that to be dissolved in this moment of healing so that we can see and share the image of our perfection together. Practice. I am whole and perfect as I was created. This is the time and place I have chosen to let the love and the light and the power of the mind of Jesus surround me through this Holy Spirit of joy. And at this time and place, I can see that I am perfect as I was created. I'm not going to judge anymore. I have used judgment in order to continue to feel the sorrow and the pain and the grievances that hold me in this temporal idea of a body, and I don't want them anymore. Let's share just another moment of quiet and listen to the relief that you're being offered right now in this moment of the wholeness of you. And God himself shall wipe away all tears. Father, unless I judge, I cannot weep. Nor can I suffer pain or feel I am abandoned or unneeded in the world. This is my home because I judge it not. And therefore, it is only what you will. Let me today behold it uncondemned. Through happy eyes, forgiveness has released from all distortion. Let me see your world instead of mine. And all the tears I shed will be forgotten, for their source is gone. Father, I will not judge your world today. Listen, God's world is happy. Those who look on it can only add their joy to it and bless it as a cause of further joy in them. We wept because we did not understand, but we have learned the world we saw was false, and we will look upon God's world today. We were weeping, weren't we? When you came into this idea of the process of healing, it's inevitable that you brought all your pain of that sickness and loneliness and death with you, because it what constitutes what you heretofore thought was your reality. Now it's turning out not to be, and suddenly the presence of us in a relationship of love and forgiveness is being expressed to the universe. You ready for this? This is from the mind of Jesus. All power is given unto you in heaven and earth, and the kingdom of God is in you. Yes. Okay. This world depends on you changing your mind about who you are, because all around you are the figures that you have been using to justify your own sickness. Is this true? Yes. Is the kingdom of God come now through Jesus and through his resurrection? Yes. Is he offering you the certainty, as we just saw in that last meditation, that it's possible for you to understand his love, okay, through the conversion of your own mind? Let's review just for a moment from the King James Version of the Bible, John 1, just a few sentences that remind you of the reason and purpose for the saviorship of Jesus. Listen. So we're speaking of Jesus here. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Listen. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This is the simple idea. If you'll trust me in the bright light that I'm offering you, is that if you will receive him, you can see that the world receives him not, but through your saviorship, through your understanding of his mind and what he is offering you, you can leave this place of pain and death. He's with us now, isn't he? Huh? The scripture comes from John, what is it, 2,000 years ago? How very present he is with now in the idea that he's going to be here with us now offering this healing. So he was in the world, and what happened? The world, the dark form, received him not. Listen. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. Now, what are you going to do with that scripture? What did he say? He says he's with you right now, and if you believe him, if you believe his message of love, he has given you the power to be sons of God. Would you like to be a son of God? Huh? Did I hear you say yes? Huh? Do you believe in the power of the mind of Jesus? Will you allow him to demonstrate to you within your own cycle of containment the entire conversion of your mind? What was the requirement? Say to me, I got to believe it. Yeah. Miracle healing begins initially with the idea of the possibility of it. Okay. Now, your mind can be trained, if you'll allow me to present the message of Jesus, and what I discovered in my determination not to define myself within this little form, that there's a spiritual alternative, the Holy Spirit, that's available to us each moment that will heal us in its entirety. Does that then qualify me as a son of God? It wasn't my own qualifications, it was the grace of my recognition of his love and that the love that we share with each other. Huh? Just a little more of John 1. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Listen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. And he's dwelling with us now. Do you notice that scripture is past tense? This is a reminder that his presence, as foretold, okay, within scripture, actually has occurred and is occurring now, so that you can express the certainty of his presence through the defenselessness of your judgmental mind that allows you to see at this time that availability. So in the beginning, remember, John was the Word, Okay, in Aramaic, remember we talked about this? The word in Aramaic means what we would call created action. It's the realization in the scripture from Jesus that everything has already been created and is active through the certainty of your mind. This is the same fundamental idea that miracles are going on all the time, here and now, and have nothing whatsoever to do with your conceptual association of yourself. Since all of the concepts of the fleshy man, the human condition, are to justify the body form in which you find yourself. None of them are true. Standing next to us right here now as an intercession between our need to condemn each other and hold on to that grievance is the love of our Savior Jesus. I am teaching you. I am asking you to comprehend. I am asking you to see the reasonableness of this offering. What it says very simply is that it's impossible that you don't know of what I speak. Can you see that with me? The certainty that you know of what I speak is contained in the entire message of the New Testament. There is no place in those few short years that he occupied a body where he does not proclaim to this world and to anyone that will listen that this is the time and place when he intends to offer you a return to heaven, a certainty that you can leave this bondage of space-time. Okay, did that work with you? Let's try one more contact, okay, one more link through the practice of this prayer. Because surrounding us now is that light, isn't it? And you're beginning to feel that joy. Listen. Father, there is a vision which beholds all things as sinless, so that fear has gone, and where it was is love invited in. And love will come wherever it is asked. This vision is your gift. The eyes of Christ look on a world forgiven. In his sight are all its sins forgiven, for he sees no sin in anything that he looks upon. Now let his true perception come to me, that I may waken from this dream of sin and look within upon my sinlessness, which you have kept completely undefiled upon the altar to your Holy Son, the self with which I would identify. Let us today behold each other in the sight of Christ. How beautiful we are, how holy and how loving. Brother, come and join with me today. We save the world when we have joined, for in our vision it becomes as holy as the light in us. Oh, very lovely that there's an indication in that scripture from Jesus when he gives you a personal invitation to come and join in the certainty that in the greater joining of our minds, we see instantly the power through his mind to understand the wholeness of what we are. Practice. I am whole and perfect as I was created. Say it. See, you brought that body with you, didn't you? I'm looking at the pain that you're feeling in that moment of despair, the moment of sickness. Let's join together there and allow the world to see that through the grace and love of the mind of Jesus, we can be instantly healed. What is it going to have to do with our concepts? What is it going to have to do with the ideas about the world? nothing. It's a fundamental admission that he's always been talking to you. The Christ mind that I am representing to you through the joining of our minds are what healing is. All right? Remember when Jesus heals in the New Testament, how he keeps saying, go and sin no more? And we're going to talk about this more. Our time is up in this first half hour of the idea of healing. We're going to come back and talk about the idea that you have been displaced, okay, in the procedures of the form of the vibrations of light that have represented you, so you have been unable to feel the grace of his love, which is standing right next to you. This is the basis under which the healing of your mind and body is occurring. You've been sinful in the idea, remember in Aramaic, that you've been off the mark. This is an invitation at this time and place to be realigned and to feel the joy of that healing. This is indeed a holy place because it's a holy time. Are you listening? This is the time that you have chosen individually to allow the joining of our minds. And as you go out into the world now, you are going to offer joining of the minds, not based on the conceptual definition, but on the certainty that Christ, the mind of Jesus, is walking with us wherever we go. He will abide with us until our journey in time is over. We'll be seeing you in just a moment. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind and love and joy with which we are thinking. Shall we say it together then? God bless us, everyone. This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. We're back with you now. Thank you for entertaining the idea of the happiness that's being expressed in this continuum of time based on what we have decided to term the Second Coming. The idea of the Second Coming is the idea that somehow Jesus left and went from heaven and hasn't been with you all this time offering you the solution, and that's not true. What you're going to learn in this scripture of the sharing, of the comprehension of the New Testament, is admittedly that the decision has always been yours. If there's one thing that the conceptual human being has been determined not to do, is to accept the fundamental teachings of Jesus' mind that the decision is yours. And you're still denying it. It's very difficult for you to see that based on his love and grace, if you will accept it, not within the concepts of your own self-identity, all right, that you can see that a decision is possible for you to heal the sick and raise the dead, because that capacity is yours. Involved in it would have to be the admission that within your conceptual humanness, you have made a decision to be what apparently represents you in the world. And this is what belabors you or beleagues you, is the idea that the responsibility for your own concepts is actually contained within your own mind, and that the decision, and I'm going to read to you a little more about being born again. We're going to review John 3, aren't we? where he talks to Nicodemus and says, don't you know you have to be born again? Don't you understand that the light and love of my offering to you can show you a whole new world? But in order for us to do that, we're going to have to show you the reasonableness of the use of his word comprehension. He says that in the comprehension of your association with the entirety of the mind of God through his grace, you can understand your own whole self. In his Course in Miracles, through the mind training, he teaches you to release your own conceptual association in time and undergo the experience. And he wants you to see with me, and we're going to read his admonition to Nicodemus in just a moment. First of all, let's look at the fundamental rejection that you suffer from in your determination not to decide that you're responsible for what's occurring here. Listen. So whose decision is it? It's yours. No one can suffer loss unless it be his own decision. No one suffers pain except his choice elects this state for him. No one can grieve, nor fear, nor think him sick unless these are the outcomes that he wants. Are you listening? And no one dies without his own consent. Nothing occurs but represents your wish, and nothing is omitted that you choose. Here is your world, complete in all details. Here is its whole reality for you, and it is only here that salvation is. Did you see that? It is only here and now that salvation is. The idea of presenting you with the certainty that it's possible for you to represent yourself momentarily in the entirety of what you are in relationship with the universe are the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth in his direction to you that you must be born again. No matter what procedure you are operating on, in the idea that you can solve the problem of knowledge of who you are, my direction to you through my illumination, by his mind, through the Holy Spirit, will tell you until you have this experience, you can't enter the kingdom. That's the entirety of the teaching, and we're going to look at it very quickly now. Listen. Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you might as well look at it with me. Okay. The entire scripture of Jesus are nothing but an indication that through forgiveness you can change your mind about how you are using the power of God. I'm not concerned about your doctrinal religious ideas about what this says. I can read to you what it says, but beginning with the acceptance of the necessity, you will be led to a time and place where it occurred. And you are being born again at this time, and you will be born again at this moment. Listen. So, what does Nicodemus say? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus says, no, I say to you, and I'll say it again, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why? That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. No use marveling that I said unto you, you must be born again, because you know perfectly well it's true, because you've already been born of the water. The idea of your baptism, the idea that you could be born within the relationship of a human being, is a replication of the certainty you can be born of the Spirit. That's going to occur in just a moment. Remember when we described to you how Jesus, when John is baptizing, how Jesus goes to John and says, I want you to baptize me. And John said to him, he recognizes him. because John has been baptizing and reminding people that the Savior will be there. He's a prophet, isn't he? Suddenly Jesus appears and John said, no, I've never baptized you. And Jesus says, I want you to. John says, why? He says, I want them to see that I am human. I want them to see that when I came into this time and place, I was going to represent or replicate their humanity. Okay, then offer them the grace of my love. What a delightful prospect that all of the ordeal of loneliness and pain that you are undergoing are a replication of what he underwent for you, so that it would be no longer necessary for you to suffer more loneliness and pain in the idea that you were born of the water, that you were born of the hydrogen and the oxygen and the carbon and this nitrogen cloud that's covering you. What can we see? At each moment through his mind, we can be in the spirit of love that represents instant conversion of our body form. Listen to a little more of this. The wind bloweth where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus says, how can these things be? And Jesus said, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witnesses. Why? If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? This is the same idea as the entire teaching of the mind training of his Course in Miracles. He says very plainly to Nicodemus, you have no idea who you are, how you got here, and why you're here. That's a true statement, and you know it. So all the world, all this earth is justifying your not knowing who you are. And you use the replication of not knowing, identifying yourself in a body, and occupy the certainty that you are somehow trapped in the idea of time. So you suffer loneliness and pain and death rather than accept the fundamental idea that there's a place and time where the complete conversion of your mind can occur. So he chastises Nicodemus a little bit by saying, you know perfectly well that the human condition doesn't know what it is and depends on the objectification of a solution in the apparent chaos of loneliness that is expressed in the moment of separation. The idea that you're not really whole and perfect and back in heaven. Because what he's going to say right now is indeed you are already whole and perfect and back in heaven, and he's come here to tell you that that is true. Listen. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. I don't know what you're going to do with that scripture. No man has ascended up to heaven, except he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven. I gotcha. You don't mind the idea that the Son of God is in heaven, but you're very disturbed when Jesus says to you, no, the Son of Man, your replication of yourself, is also back in heaven. Why? Time lasted but a moment in your mind with no effect on eternity. And so as all time passed and everything exactly as it was before this moment of terror took its place, you are back in heaven, and you are back through the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And those of you who have been waiting for the second coming, I hope you'll take a look at me now in what I'm representing and in the certainty that we can represent together that he never left us. The particulars of the mind training of the Course in Miracles are direct only to your intention that he's always been with you. I'm going to use the scripture of John, and if you listen to me, I can help you to a new comprehension of what this says, because I've had a new comprehension of it. It seems perfectly reasonable to me that if I have an idea of heaven within my mind, and God is perfect and whole and represents me in my own perfection, that there could be no reason why I can't wake up and remember that I'm in heaven. That's reasonable to me. For most of us, the idea that we would be separate from a totally loving God seemed unreasonable. And certainly the idea that a loving, all-powerful God would have something to do with this place of pain and death, as though somehow God created all of the horror and pain that's going on around here. No, no, no. You listen to me. We are offering the certainty to each other that we are whole and perfect as we were created. And that's what we want to recognize together. And this is what Jesus says now. If you were to inquire of him, or to anyone who has undergone this experience, about what the necessity is for you to enter the kingdom, they would say, let's share together an experience of laying down the defenses of the pain and the loneliness and our needs to justify our conflict and the idea of an eye for an eye, and recognize what? That's standing with us right now, maturing, growing each moment through a single moment of rebirth, is the certainty of our Christhood. Let's read just a little more. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, replication, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Listen, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. What I'm curious about, Christians, is the simplicity of this scripture and your rejection of it. There's nowhere in Jesus' scripture where he says you have to go through a lot of pain and loneliness and die in order to see his presence with you. How simple is it? He says, if you believe me, if you believe me at this moment, you will never perish, and life will be eternal to you. Shall we try it? Say to me, I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe that what he is telling me in the scripture is true, and that if I decide at this time and place that I want to be whole through the auspices of his love, it will be true. You're suspicious of your own belief? How about I want to believe it's true? Say that to me. I'd like to believe what you're saying is true. Yes. I'd like to believe that spiritual healing is really possible. Would you? You, the suffering from that disease? Would you like to believe that it's possible? I can help you with that belief, but I want you to see it as an alternative, not contained within your conceptual associations about yourself. This is the teaching. This is your declaration, okay, that you are whole and perfect as you were created. The scripture, okay, in John says to you that that is true, and that Jesus is with you now, offering you this healing. Just a few more lines. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, are you listening, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's one of the most amazing ideas that you'll ever come to know. The idea that present with you now, from God, is our saviorship that we can share together. And that if you believe it in this time and in this place, it will have nothing at all to do with the idea that somehow you're suffering from condemnation by a mind that has to forgive you in order that you can enter into the kingdom. There is no condemnation in the mind of Jesus or in our minds as we share together a moment of forgiveness where we see that all of our condemnation is behind us. All right? And in the moment of this healing, we can feel His grace and love. Just two more verses. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Are you going to listen to 18 here now? He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Listen, but he that doth truth cometh to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. And that's an amazing idea, and I'm going to review it with you in Aramaic just for a moment. In the Aramaic translation, all right, there are a couple little key references to choice that occur in his admonition to Nicodemus. What Jesus is actually saying there is that the choice is yours to make, and you have chosen to condemn yourself. All right. What does he say? You're already condemned. The idea that you're separate from God, the idea that you're separate from the whole universe, the idea that you're suffering pain and loneliness and death are what? Self-condemnation in a choice that you have made. I'm going to read you. Can I do this? I have a little Aramaic translation. I'm going to read you two of those verses in what Jesus attempts to say to you in the certainty that you are condemning yourself. Listen. Here's the Aramaic. No man rises to heaven except he who descends from heaven, the Son of Man. He is a part of heaven. What a lovely idea. That is the Son of Man, you're a part of heaven. And just as Moses raised the serpents in the wilderness, so it is necessary to raise the Son of Man, so that all men who believe in Him will not be lost, but will have for themselves eternal life. Did you see the little difference there? For God so loved men that He gave His one and only Son, so that every man who believeth in Him shall not be lost, but shall have eternal life. Listen. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn people, but so that there would be a perfect life through Him. Here's the key sentence. Whosoever believeth completely with Him will not be condemned. Whosoever causes himself not to believe, he has been condemned from the first. He who does not believe in the teachings of the one and only Son of God. Did you hear what that said? Son of Man. He who causes himself not to believe will not believe. He that through the grace and love of the converting agency of the light of Jesus can cause himself to believe. Can you get this? Fundamental teachings of our Savior is you're the cause of this world. Okay? This is a decision that you have made about yourself. in a choice that you have made to deny the truth and wholeness of what you really are. All right? Now the solution is easy, isn't it? Because we're standing together with the idea that the power is given to you within this framework of time to see your own wholeness. And it's surrounding you now, and what's making you feel real happy at this moment is the comprehension of it. Suddenly the scripture is going to be reasonable to you. Suddenly it's going to be reasonable to you that when Jesus says this is a choice that you have made, okay, and this is in His Course in Miracles, you have made a decision not to be whole. We're showing you a light for another decision to be whole and perfect as possible for you. Will you be born again? Yes. Are you being born again? I hope so. Because the love that we're sharing now is the love that brings healing to every mind. We saw it work within this frame in this last hour. There have been a lot of healing going on. I'm feeling the joy of your recognition of the loss of your need to suffer from that cancer. You've made a decision now through this mind of Jesus to be whole and perfect as you were created. I hope we get a chance to see you again real soon. This message is being carried now around the world by all the Christian healers who are determined that through the mind of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they can be made whole and perfect. Remember that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we are thinking. Let's say it together. God bless us, everyone.